Blog Talk Radio.
Audience out there, and we're starting live today, August 4th, 2012. I have missed you. I have missed doing the show on a live basis on Saturday mornings. We've been doing reruns for about 8 weeks now and just developing all kinds of new information for you. We've got so many exciting things to tell you out there, our wonderful listeners all over the world. I can see that it didn't stop you at all. You guys have been listening to the show where we've actually increased listeners. And we've got a wonderful producer now of the show, our co-producer, Malvina Sullivan. Hello, Malvina. Are you there? Let's see. Let me see. Are you there? I don't think I'm hearing you clearly. Let me get you in here and see if I think I just muted you here. Okay. Let's see if I've got you on online here. All right, can you hear me okay? I'm not hearing you through the show line. For some reason, I'm not hearing you through the show line. Why don't you dial back in?
Good morning.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. Oh, absolutely. So Malvina Sullivan will be joining us as our producer of the show. What a wonderful person. She's actually been already, she's already been doing this for a while, making sure that your dear Professor Applewhite, right here, Doc Apple, that I'm here on the show every Saturday morning. She gets everything ready, including a delicious cup of coffee. I really enjoy her coffee. She could actually market this stuff, and I think that she'd probably come up, she'd be a competitor for Starbucks, that's for sure. We have some wonderful guests this morning calling in. I see the switchboard is lighting up there, Malvina, and we certainly appreciate you for controlling that switchboard for us. And we want to thank Nazim Rashid for that great music starting us off this morning. Nazim's show follows ours as Reconnected. He is the mentor man, and he is on blogtalkradio.com. He'll be joining us as a guest in the near future also to talk about the progress of his great book. And we have got a special surprise for some of you teachers out here, out there. And I am so pleased to introduce to you one of the an author, an up-and-coming great speaker that's going to be on our show, I believe, on a regular basis. Her name is Jennifer Ramirez. And Jennifer Ramirez is the author of a new book. And I will, I know she's going to be on the switchboard in just a moment, and so we will enjoy hearing from her, and she'll call in, and we'll be able to pick her brain a little bit and see what she's doing in the field of education. She is actually not just a writer, she is a teacher, and she's a mother, and you know what that means. that all around, as I always talk about, we are all students and we are all teachers because of the factor that as students we learn, we're always absorbing information from our environment, in addition to the fact that we are teachers because we share that same information that we absorb. What we wanted to talk about today is preparing successful students in a changing world. The sponsor for today's show, as always, is White Apple Institute. White Apple Institute's mission is to provide resources for teachers and students with disabilities or who are differently abled, we like to say, all around the world. And we provide grants and different services for them, connect them to different resources so that they can succeed in the workplace, because that's really the reason why most of us go to school. I'd have to say the majority of time when you ask someone why they're going to school, it usually is to improve their present work status. In addition to, I love to learn. I'm a lifelong learner. I'm always open to learning information. But the actual academic arena, to go into the academic arena and to go through the rugged testing that we have to do, that requires a goal that's in front of us. And that goal usually is that I want to increase my status in the workplace. And so when we look at that, teachers have to improve their status in the workplace, too. As teachers, I've been a teacher for 35-plus years. I guess I'm telling my age out there, Malvina. I'm telling everybody my age. She always references me on a very joking level as the old lady in the classroom. But I do enjoy teaching. I think I'll be doing it until when I can say it. I've been teaching 55 years, you know. But our special guest, again, is Jennifer Ramirez. She's the author of The Attitude Book for Children for Instructional Use by Parents, Teachers, and Professionals. Now, before we bring her on, I also wanted to share with you that we have some other people on the switchboard. I'm going to go ahead and introduce them. Albina, are we ready to introduce one of our guests here? I see someone from 824, okay, that's calling in. And so when that person is ready, we can go ahead and bring them on to the show and see if there's any questions that he or she would like to address to the show's topic today of preparing successful students in a changing world. One of the things, about eight things that I can come up with, probably almost 10 things that I can come up with, that are plaguing teachers today. And one of them that seems to be the most overwhelming is evaluation. Evaluation. I want our teachers out there, all of you that are in the academic arena and the vocational arena, to understand that we all go through evaluations in life, period. So relax a little with the evaluation phobia, because it is a phobia. And we create it within our minds that, oh, my goodness, someone is going to look at what I am doing, how I have been teaching, if I am an advocate of the NCLB, which is the No Child Left Behind legislation. I always like to say it should have been no student left behind, because many of our students that are struggling are not just children. We have adult learners who are struggling, and they impact the children that they are raising or that they're around. We've got violence in the classroom, again, with evaluation. We've got some other challenges such as the violence in the classroom, bullying in the classroom, even cyberbullying, that's a new thing. I think we'll just build a show around this cyberbullying stuff that's going on in today's schools where people are actually bullying through social media and causing some really, really ugly things to happen to people through social media like Facebook, Twitter, and all of those mediums. Then, of course, we've got health issues that are facing our students today, not just health from a physical perspective, but health from a mental health perspective. So we've got that to deal with. Oh, yes, we've got technology issues. We've got, definitely, pay issues. I know some of you are probably saying, hey, Professor, don't forget about the salary, the pay here. Are we getting paid on a professional level here? So those are just some of the challenges that we'll try to get around today and face. And in addition to that, our guest presentation, we're going to welcome now Jennifer Ramirez into our studio. And as she calls in, I don't see her on the switchboard yet, but what I'll do is I will connect with her, my friends. So just hold on, and we will get Jennifer Ramirez on the line, and she'll be able to share with us what she's been doing with this great book, and we're going to be calling her right now. Calling into the show. And the other thing I wanted to speak to you about when we talk about the challenges facing today's teachers as we wait for Jennifer Ramirez to come online here, some of the challenges that we're dealing with. Evaluations is that correlate with our pay. And so I believe that that is one of the reasons why we have so much fear surrounding the evaluation issue. Because when we talk about being evaluated, it's about, you know, are you going to find that I'm doing something that's not correct? And are you going to come after me and reduce my paycheck or terminate me from employment? As a psychologist, I just want to assure you that phobias grow. Phobias start with very little information, and then what happens is we continue to build on that, to add to it. And as we add to it, it becomes a big snowball. And there we go with an attitude of coming into the classroom not feeling comfortable about where we're at in as far as our jobs are concerned, our security. And security is real important. I speak a lot about security and a sense of belonging. And I want to share with you that I have a theory that correlates with a very famous psychologist that I just honor in my life. His name is Abraham Maslow. And Abraham Maslow believed that it was very, very important to get the basic needs met in our life before we can start looking at the self-actualization or moving into a place where we can become successful. And in order to do that, what he has done, one moment, please. Okay, there she is. Jennifer Ramirez is indeed calling in, and so we now have her coming into the screen. Let me finish up with this thought on Abraham Maslow. Abraham Maslow indeed said that we have to meet our basic needs. In other words, we have to make sure that we have shelter, food, clothing, and all of those things together. And then we have to have a sense of security, in addition to a sense of belonging, but a sense of security in order to progress to another level. And that's so important when we look at the world today and our lack of security in so many different levels. Jennifer Ramirez, are you
Hello.
There?
Yes,
Hello,
I am.
Are
you
there?
Me?
Never heard, Jennifer. I just want to thank you so much for being with us this morning on the Student to Teacher Show.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Appleway.
Yes, And I just wanted to let the audience know a little bit about you. I kind of gave you a little bit of an introduction as the greatest teaching ability that I believe you have is that you are a mom, okay? In addition to being a teacher in the classroom, today's classroom, you are a mom, and that is the greatest teaching experience that anyone can have.
Absolutely.
It is. Tell me a little bit about your background so that our listeners can get an idea of where you're from, first off. Where do you hail from?
So my history is actually in social work and working with people more than anything else. And then I had the opportunity to be a teacher for a while, so I was a teacher. And now I teach classes over at the community centers, and it's called the Attitude Class for Children, and known as Awesome Attitudes. And what we do with our classes is we have a six-week program, and we go through how to express yourself and how to let go of grudges, how to learn positive, strong, personal I am statements. And the point of it, I've learned from being a teacher and from being working with people so much, is that at our basic level, if we are feeling good, comfortable, and that our environment is such that there's high expectations of us, then we'll do better. And it's more about the push than it is anything else. So what we teach students is to have a belief system about themselves and to have tools when they come up against challenges and difficulties that they're able to pull from them some tools that they learned from the class that will propel them through getting frustrated with the difficulties that come with, you know, challenging schoolwork and switching a classroom every year, having a new teacher. I think it must be a lot for children to go through where you've got an entirely new environment all of the time. Every year you go through it. So they're going to go through those changes, and the hope is that when we solidify those tools when they're younger, these like strong personal I am statements that the students choose, that they're able to feel confident, and that is going to be the glue that keeps them feeling confident in other aspects of life through school and then beyond it as well.
What made you, and you know that I explained to you a little bit before you to come online and to become a guest on the show, had mentioned that I was going to take the information that you're sharing and kind of make sure that it's correlated the adult learner. And I know that some of the things that you just mentioned are that space too, as far as attitudes, as far as there's a background noise happening, Jennifer. Okay? And if you could kind of come into an area where there's more clarity in your background, that would be great. Okay? So let me finish that question. Do you see that there's a correlation in what you were discussing about the child coming into the classroom, and you can see the same thing happening to the adult learner at the same time?
So I'd say for an adult learner, they would have to do what?
They would have to do what? I'm sorry.
Draw from a place of being some different beliefs about themselves.
Okay.
Recognize yourself a little bit more and have a strong belief to talk about it. You'd have your child in your because normal maps that way and you come up against situations. As a saying, you would practice the stronger I am statements and find the best about yourself before you walk into a classroom. However, it would take longer because our brains are a little bit more rocks, a little bit more solid, and it takes a little bit more practice. So my book is we educate the parents more than we do the children because it does only so good to work with the children without there being that supportive environment at home. So it's actually more educating the parents than anything else because they're the ones that are going to have to learn themselves. So as parents, the thing to do for a child to learn to say, like, express themselves appropriately would be to encourage themselves to do it in front of the child. Like, if you are frightened to go ask for something, like to go ask for a raise or to go talk to your principal, then you would be encouraged to to push yourself to do that and do that in front of your child, because just telling them to do it, to challenge yourself more will only do so good. You yourself have to be the one willing to grow. And as a parent, that means you have to break through some strong, possible self-doubt or lack of belief in certain areas.
Let me ask you this. When you talk about the student, the child that's in your classroom, are there times that you yourself can see a reflection of you, of some of your own issues as a human being, as a teacher?
Well, sure.
Can you see that?
Absolutely. I think that's with everyone, too. I think that the big things that it comes down to is with everyone, there's always a concern that you can't handle something that's in front of you. So I think that happens for everybody all around the board, and that there's a next place,
right.
There's a next level. So that comes up all the time, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing better than being able to see someone that's a child be able to learn ways and tools to be able to go through that so that they can be on a path of extending themselves in a great way all the time, routinely, as far as they can go, whenever they can, as opposed to learning things like that when you're a little older. And then maybe taking a little longer, and you expand not as quickly as you would with your child. So definitely.
And when you decided to write this book about the attitude book for children,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there were some things going on within the classroom or with other teachers that kind of stimulated your thinking. Why write a book about attitude? Why is that so important? I have a statement. I always say that attitude is everything, but
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know your feedback on when you originally, the first time that you thought about this idea about, you know, I'm going to write a book about attitude for children. What was that? What stimulated that kind of thought for you?
Well, for me, I had a child, and he was very young. ADHD. Basic skills like communication were more important. And the teachers that he was a very good teacher. They were some of my closest friends. However, them pushing that, you know, you need to get this math problem done only did so much. It only caused a certain level of frustration. That him being able to know that it was okay to say community. So my first chapter is all about expressing yourself appropriately. And that was the goal of the time. So I created a lesson plan to work with my son. And I had to do it. It's okay to say that you're angry. It's okay to get it out of your system. And that way people can see, well, okay to be sad.
Now, how long were you teaching before you decided to go ahead and write this book about the attitude book for children? How long were you teaching before that?
I was teaching for a while.
Over 5 years or 2 years? What was your experience in the classroom, so to speak? That's what I'm trying to get to. Hello, are you there? Okay, I think we just lost our guest for this morning, and she'll be coming back online, I'm sure, in just a moment. So we'll continue going on. You know, one of the reasons why I was asking Jennifer Ramirez about what stimulated the thought about writing a book on attitude for children is because we deal with attitudes so frequently, and you deal with them with adults as well as children, and it's so it molds, it makes an impact on how we succeed in the classroom, how we succeed in life. And so I'm wondering if the stimulus for her thinking about this book was based on some experiences that were going on already in her life. And I believe that she's back online with us. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, I was asking that question about what stimulated you to write this, because I know that there's other teachers out there that have a lot of things to say about their experiences in the classroom and how to prepare students for success. And this is one of them, you know, preparing the attitude and discussing attitude with them. But what stimulated you to start thinking about attitude of all things?
So my background before teaching was social work, and I worked with individuals that had some physical and mental challenges for more than 6 years. And what I noticed is that we did have a lot of problems with, like, for example, I'd have a really fantastic physical therapist out to help somebody, and they would be able to do all of the physical motions of, like, extending your arm fully if you're trying to get, if you're recovering from a stroke, for example, and that would work well. However, the conversations that I think that they were having with themselves about whether or not they could handle what was going on or not was really much more of the factor. So for a lot of the people that I worked with, having a conversation with them about grounding and seeing what was going on with them emotionally was really good. And what I tended to do was to try to support more physical therapists that would be able to get a little bit more of a personal relationship and create the push before going into any of that. And the success was there. And there's some groups out here in Arizona, where I'm from, where they do just personal growth. And I had an individual, this was kind of a special story to me, and he had fallen down into a hole while he was doing construction, and he ended up having some major disabilities because of it, and he was pretty much bound to his room for a couple years. And he didn't talk to anyone. He was a very good person. So I had heard about this class that you could take that just worked on attitude development. And he kind of did it on everything. And it was called the Omega Vector, and it's out in Central Phoenix. So I drove him over there. It was like a couple weekend course, and I got him the opportunity to do that. And
how old was this person?
He was a 54-year-old gentleman.
I like to ask that because there's so many people out there that give up because of their age. And say, I don't think I can get back to school. I don't think I can do anything because of my age or my disability. So it's real important when we're sharing these stories for people to hear that here we are with a 54-year-old gentleman. And continue with the growth story. Thank you. Sorry for the interruption there. So you're driving him.
Yeah. Well, so when I talked to him, his story was always that I can't. You know, hey, why don't you get out for a little bit? Well, I can't. I don't feel good. I'm not up for it. And it's too hard. Everything's too hard. And it was the belief system that was holding him down. It had nothing to do with his body. It had nothing to do with his body. And so when I was able to take him to that class, he worked on himself, and he was just able to create a different belief system. And I noticed an amazing change. So what ended up happening for this particular individual is that he did get out of his house altogether. He ended up connecting with a daughter of his, and then they lived together for a long time, and then he was able to have, like, a good group of friends, and at one point I heard he got connected with vocational rehab services, and
it
went from, his world went from being very isolated to, from whatever, by him being kind of bound to his own limited belief system, to him breaking through that limited belief system, and then going to a point where he found the best in himself, and his life changed from it drastically.
Wonderful. So, wonderful.
Yeah, it was
isn't it great to be a catalyst in someone's life? I think that when we look at teachers today, that we don't give each other enough kudos about how much of a catalyst we play in the lives of others. We actually plant seeds. Sometimes we don't get a chance to even see them grow, but we plant them, and we need to applaud ourselves for that planting. And I know our producer of the show, Malvina, you definitely know about how we need to applaud teachers today. You have a son yourself that deals with attitudes and all of the challenges facing students, and you can see that as a reflection of the challenges that you've gone through as an adult student, can you not?
I most certainly can.
Yes. Going to school for you probably required that you created a different belief system that Jennifer just related to.
Somewhat, yes.
Because, I mean, if we don't believe in ourselves, and we don't believe in, not only in ourselves first, but in the system that we're getting ready to enter into, then unfortunately, that word, that F comes up, which is fail. And I'm one of those teachers. I don't know if you believe in this, Jennifer, but giving a student an F is one of the most horrific things for me to ever do. I never like writing that letter F,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I, but of course there are times when you have to do that because that becomes a teaching tool. But I will do everything possible to work with somebody before that circumstance happens. And I believe due to some technical difficulties, Jennifer Ramirez has been dropped from our call again, but I'm sure she'll call back in again. We have another guest online. I don't want to forget opening up the line to this guest. They've been waiting for quite a while. Good morning. You're calling in from an 824. Hello? Hello, an 824 number. Good morning. Okay, I'll come back to you. I just wanted to let you know that we're not forgetting you. You're on the switchboard, and we do see you clearly. Okay? All right, thank you so much. Hang in there, and I see that we have Jennifer back online again. Okay, Jennifer, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, so what I was saying, you know, I mean, there's just so much that goes into helping a person by planting that first seed. And sometimes it's a replanting. Follow my thought with this. The seed's already been planted some time ago, just like any kind of plant. You have a seed, and then for some reason the plant begins to die. It just begins to get, the energy is lost.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, a drop of water or some kind of nutrient will get through the soil into that plant and kind of revive it. And I find that when we're talking about children, the seed is planted by teachers like yourself. And then something happens in the process, the growth process, of going through K through 12, if you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere, sometimes, of course, even earlier, like 9th, 10th grade, we find our students dropping out in addition to teachers burning out. But the dropout starts happening. And then somewhere along the line, we've got to be the ones who bring those nutrients, that drop of water, that drop of life back, and replant the seed. And that's what you did with this gentleman, this 54-year-old gentleman, is you replanted the seed. Because somewhere along the line, there was a seed that was there. Do
mm-hmm.
you see that? Do my analogy make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you know, we wish that all of us as teachers especially, because we can focus all day long on the student. As teachers, we can focus on all the problems that they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But this show, what I try to make my life purpose about, is talking about how teachers feel about doing their job of planting that seed.
Mm-hmm.
And not we just don't give each other enough kudos. We're so isolated within our classrooms sometimes. We call it a self-contained classroom. Have you ever heard that expression?
Mm-hmm.
The self-contained classroom, which means that basically that teacher's in there day in and day out with her students, and the very minimal interaction with other staff members or administration, parents, or anyone else that has anything to do with that student's life, child or adult. And it becomes sometimes a very lonely place. And so that's where we have to really dig deep inside of ourselves to say what's happening not only within our internal world, but our external world that can bring us into a sense of believing in ourselves again and being able to plant seeds and replant seeds over and over again and look in the mirror every day at ourselves and feel good about that. If I could get to the point where I could feel that teachers like yourself coming on the show could leave me with that sense of rejuvenation, that wow, Jennifer, you are talking to about 25,000 people out there that listen to this show. And they're hearing your voice and your story. And somehow or another, I believe what you're saying is going to make a difference in their life. Maybe they will write a book, not necessarily on attitude, but on something that will help to continue planting the seeds and rejuvenating belief systems and helping people to succeed in such a changing world. The world is changing so doggone fast, and teachers are so subjected, unfortunately, to... Are you there, Jennifer? Do I have you online? I'm not sure if I have you online. Okay. There must be some problem with the cell phone. You know, that's technology today. Very frustrating for a lot of students, too, is technology. And sometimes those situations, we have to be there for the student to make sure that they are able to get back online again, able to take their time. Patience, oh boy, my grandmother used to say that to me. Patience is a virtue, and I'd wonder what on earth she's talking about. But in the world of technology, I certainly understand it. Patience is truly a virtue. Okay? All right. One of the things that I would like to do very, very quickly here is to give again some announcements that are going on out, especially coming up with our show, with Student to Teacher Show. In October, I want some of our veterans out there that are listening, we have a new segment of the show coming up called Vet to Vet, and we'll be inviting different veterans to come in and speak about how they're succeeding in school, what they're doing with their health, what they're doing with their physical and mental health, and how they can help other veterans to succeed in our changing world. So that's coming up for us in October. I'm trying so hard to make sure that I can get Jennifer back, because I've got some interesting things that I want her to share with us in regards to how she's working on her personal growth. Okay? All right, so let's see if we can get Jennifer back in again. Hello, Jennifer, are you there now?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, what I wanted to do is, we have a few moments here left on the show, is I wanted to talk about you on a very personal level, okay? I want to talk about what makes you tick and do such a great job as a teacher. What do you think it is? I mean, you've written the book. I'm sure your evaluations as a teacher have come back very, very good. But every day you get up and you have to look in the mirror and you have to face different challenges, not only within your own family, getting your kids out the door, but with your own self. What's your key, if you wanted to share a key of success for other teachers out there, even other mothers?
Well, one thing that I do that I think is very special and unique to me is that if I have a child that I find very challenging and they drive me up the wall, then I give them a word, a word to help me hold their expectations high, like a word to help grow them into their own an expectation that I have for them that might be higher than where they're at. For example, a student that I had that was very disorganized and all over the place, and having my classroom go smoothly was a constant battle with getting his attention on track, and it was distracted with the students. So I held the word calm for him before I went into class, and for whatever it did to me, it helped me be able to feel like I had some control of the situation. But I grew myself into believing that he was calm. And for his particular case, I chose to spend a little bit more time with him and believe him to be that place, and it did turn into that. He ended up becoming someone who I felt differently about, and my feeling differently about him, I believe, made the environment better for him and made the environment better for my class by doing that. So I use that for my child, too. When he drives me up the wall, and I will use a word, like respectful, sometimes, or relaxed or peaceful, and then just treat him as though he's already doing it.
So you pick a word and you have them visualize that word. You define it for them, with them, and that's what you use as a kind of like a focus for the day.
And I'll say statements like what you're doing right now is not as calm as you usually are. Or I know you're such a good, calm boy most of the time. So what's going on right now? Those kind of things. Because I just changing my belief about how they are and how they're acting was helpful.
Changing your belief. And see, that's so important, is that teachers, we all have to understand that it takes a change within ourselves first in order to be most effective. I have to reinforce that concept, because it's not just about walking in the classroom and having all of the answers. We have to work with ourselves first. We have to go back into who we are, and do we really believe in what we're doing? Do we have a good attitude about what we're doing? And that even goes back into, and I'm going to just go back to the beginning conversation that I had with our audience out there about some of the challenges facing teachers today. And I want to focus on a word, evaluation. Remember I mentioned that at the beginning of the show? And I mentioned the fact that that's one of the challenges that teachers are facing today, is that we're under the scrutiny of being evaluated all of the time. And evaluation means a lot to our security and to our paychecks, but it also means a lot to our psyche. And so every morning when you're talking about the student that you're looking at and you're looking at yourself, you're actually doing a self-evaluation. Do you follow me there?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a self-evaluation. And so I would like teachers out there, all of us, parents also, to relax with that word evaluation and know that it's part of our growth. And don't let it become an enemy. So welcome the evaluation of others. Welcome it knowing that you're doing the best you can. Welcome it knowing that you're coming up with innovative ideas like you have of focusing on a word and helping a student to clarify it. There are so many teachers that I'd love to motivate them to call in and share what they're doing in order to increase or to enhance success in a student's life. But most importantly, I want them to understand that it begins with me. And I believe there's a statement out there in many of the spiritual schools of thought that let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Have you ever heard that one, Jennifer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. And that is the only way that peace begins, but it's the only way that success begins as students, okay, as students, as teachers, as human beings. And we must remember that. So I would like teachers, even though we have numerous challenges out there, we have challenges with health issues, we have challenges with the factor that the evaluation process is heavy out there. President Obama is pushing that, and I know that that causes a lot of anxiety for teachers. But let's relax with that thought. Let's know that whatever we do within the classroom is going to be a great reflection on who we are as individuals in the future. We thank you so much for being a part of who we are this morning, Jennifer. And where can people get your book? Where can people access your book?
The best place to purchase it is on Amazon, and it's the title, The Attitude Book for Children for Instructional Use by Parents, Teachers, and Professionals. And then I would encourage anyone who's interested and has children or students that I have classes coming up. My next set of classes will be on August 30th, and that'll be at the Red Mountain Multicultural Center.
What cultural center? Say that again.
The Red Mountain.
And that's here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have webinar capabilities there? I'd like to talk to you about that, doing webinars so that teachers who are in other states and other countries can actually access all this great information that you share. That definitely is a possibility, you know. You know, since our problems are not just based in Arizona, we've got we're facing worldwide issues with our students. Don't you agree?
Oh, hugely.
Yes, and so I mean, you know, we of course we have to start with small chunks okay, small bites, I should say, small bites, and then to larger chunks. But I always like to throw that little kudo in that we want to look at the whole picture, that we're in the same boat as other teachers, and that once there's a hole in the boat, we're all going to sink if we don't pull in together as a team and share information. We're not, even though we say self-contained classrooms and that we work independently, we are truly interdependent, and we need to keep that thought going, is that as a teacher to another teacher to another teacher, that we can help each other grow, and that we don't have to become so isolated as we have through the ages. I've watched it throughout my career. I remember when teachers would talk together in the teacher's lounge, and we'd share ideas. I know that when I go in now and I talk to teachers doing certain workshops, the teachers hardly even know each other. They go in, they sign in, they get what they have in their boxes or their emails or whatever, and they very rarely communicate with each other. In the school that you're in, do you communicate with other teachers frequently?
No. Everybody's very busy. I'd say that it's like, oh, my goodness, I'm tired, or, oh, my goodness,
mm-hmm.
When we get together for team building, things like that, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of team building that goes on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but how often does the administration in your school have something like an in-service or a team building exercise?
Once a week.
Once a week? Well, that's a really great report to have out there, and I hope that if there are any administrators listening to the show today, that they take that into account. It's not so difficult to do. I know that one of the things, the feedback that I get many times, that there's no time to do all of this. And I understand that time, we are crunched on time. And we have so many standards that we have to meet as far as instructional time for testing to make sure that our students are evaluated correctly. There's that word again, evaluation, and that it comes back to us being evaluated. So we got all this stuff going on all the time. But here you are saying that once a week you can get together with your colleagues in a team building exercise and get a chance to know them better. And I know that's got to help a lot. It does, right?
Hugely.
Yes. And so we can encourage people to, especially teachers out there, to go to their administration, play the show for them, expose them to what we're trying to do with student-to-teacher show, and to have them call in and share other ideas about team-building exercises. Give us a little bit of just a little quip about what you do with team-building, with the team-building exercises. What are some of the things that you do with other teachers in that time frame?
What do we do?
Yes, just one exercise that you could elaborate on.
Like when there's carnivals at the school and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we do all together. We have to work together for, which is wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
then evening activities, going to take the kids out on field trips. Those are the bigger
mm-hmm.
type of. There's really nothing set up for just the teachers to grow together unless somebody's got, like, a birthday party or they're having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the main focus that this is something that I've learned is not to connect with the teacher that only talks about what's not working, because she's going to be the one that I'm going to be able to have 100 conversations with, and she's
mm-hmm.
going to be the one that those conversations are all going to continue to be around what's not working, which is an endless place to go. We can go there forever. And instead
mm-hmm.
to find the teacher that is talking about what's working and what they're doing and how much fun that is, and have more fun connecting with her.
And you know, that's good, and there's nothing that's a plus. But you know what I'm trying to get to, Jennifer, is the factor that we're still not talking about the real issues that face us after the field trips, after we do the activities with the children or our students, and that there are some very, very deep interpersonal things that are going on with teachers that we're not addressing, those challenges that we're facing on a day-to-day basis. So when we talk about team building, what I'd like to see more, and tell me if you agree with me on this, is more interpersonal skill building. is that we sit together and start really talking about what's going to improve the way we look at ourselves, what's going to help us enhance our attitudes about teaching, what's going to help us change our belief systems to believe more in ourselves and in the system that we work in. Because that's a big issue. A lot of us do not believe in the system that we work in. And do we really believe that parents can have an integral part in the way that our students are growing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all say that. We all know, yes, parents are important, but we also know that in today's world, in our changing world today, that it's there's minimal interaction with parents because of work schedules. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so, you know, that's frustrating for teachers, is that the support system that we had maybe 20 or 30 years ago is not there as frequently as it could be to help our students of today. So we, in a sense, as teachers, become counselors. And I'm going to use something that's going to be a mind blower for some of our teachers and students listening out there, is that we actually become surrogate parents. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
We become surrogate parents for many of our students. And so that pulls in a whole different set of skills that we have to have and a whole different set of belief systems that, can I really do this? We're losing teachers. Jennifer, we're actually losing teachers at about a 35% dropout rate or burnout rate, shall I say.
Mm-hmm.
That's really serious. We have young teachers today. I'm part of a lot of teacher education programs around the country trying to recruit teachers and encourage people, young people today, to go into the teaching profession. And I'll tell you, the few that come out of a workshop that are really gung-ho about, you know, I really want to teach, I've always wanted to teach, usually get into teacher education programs and hit that internship stage, you know, that student-teacher stage where you go into the classroom and you're really working with what you've learned, and they get burned out very quickly. And then the world opens up to them about what's really happening in my world out there, and do I really want to go into the field of teaching? Sometimes it's scary for them. And I really, my heart goes out to new teachers, and I want you to join me and other teachers out there in encouraging young people to look at the field of education once more. I know it doesn't pay a lot. I hear that argument all the time. But the pay is not necessarily in the monetary amount, but in spiritual dollars, I like to say. We can make a change happen. And look at what you've done. Look at what you're doing with your book. Look at what you've done with not just the 54-year-old man that you've talked about this morning, but I bet that when you come back on the show, you're going to have even more stories to share with us. And hopefully other teachers will come on and they will share their stories and feel comfortable doing that, because we're all in this together and we will make it. If anything that Professor Applewhite wants to say to people out there, teachers, students, parents, colleagues, counselors, whatever, is that I personally am not giving up on us. Not giving up on us as human beings, as spiritual beings, not giving up on our country, on the United States of America, and I'm not giving up on our world. I believe that we have a chance to turn things around. And I refuse to take the pessimistic route. And I'm hoping that those that listen to the show join with me in an optimistic perspective and say, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and make a difference in preparing successful students in a changing world. And I'm going to do that by the way I change my attitude, my belief systems, the way I interact with others, that I can truly do this. Malvina, do you have anything that you wanted to share with us this morning in addition to what we've already talked about? Want to make sure we get some words in, okay?
I believe you touched bases on everything. I don't have any input.
Okay. Wonderful. If we've touched bases on everything, that, because I'll tell you something. Malvina is also a teacher in her own right. She has a strong background in the medical field, but she's also a mom. And that's one of the things that I really want to encourage is for moms to feel comfortable calling into the show. I know I don't really say that a lot, but you are teachers also. And we have that other caller that's still, we have a number of callers that are still online this morning. Hello, are you still there? 824? Are you still online? Oh, I think I have you there. Hello, 824? Good morning.
Yeah.
Professor Applewhite.
Yeah, this is Tom Baker. How are you doing?
Oh, hello there, Tom Baker. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I was just listening to your program. It's an excellent program today.
Thank you. I like what you said
about students and stuff. I've had some experience teaching myself.
Mm-hmm.
I used to teach mentally ill people algebra, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Wow. When you say mentally ill people algebra, you're talking about someone who has a mental health diagnosis and they haven't been able to function well in school, and then you help them get through mathematics. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
you help them
exactly.
Get their algebra?
Yeah, I've helped them with their algebra. I helped one girl who told me if she hadn't got through college algebra, she probably wouldn't have graduated from college and gone on and got a master's degree once.
Wow.
Years later, I ran into her.
Right. Okay. And you know, and that's what we're talking about. We were talking about earlier is that seed that you plant, Tom, that seed that you plant in others. And sometimes we don't get a chance to see it grow. But here you are saying, you know, years later, you ran into somebody that you tutored in algebra, and she made it through because of what you did, because you planted that seed. And so we've got
right,
to, I praise
exactly.
God for you, for being that catalyst. Jennifer, did you hear that young man? Did you hear him, what he said just now? Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we all join in with that same attitude of saying, saying we are going to be part of the change that's happening, then I think that we have a really good chance. Okay? Now, we have some people who have come onto our chat line, and we want to acknowledge them. I do want to say that this word, let me just reiterate a little bit. I'm going to go over a little bit. He talks about the public school system. Thank you, Pianchi. The public school system as it applies to African-American children has not worked. And that is so true. We find that we have students that are at the lowest on the totem pole, and we're not addressing their needs. And we want to get back into that conversation. I'll tell you what, I promise you, Pianchi, we will address that situation. We have a show that we did with Dr. Umar Johnson back in our archives, and I encourage you to look up that show on the student-teacher format and so that you can get an idea of what kind of work that we're still doing with White Apple Institute and through this radio show. And I have also witnessed teacher associations selling parents in a very arrogant way about their students and not encouraging them. And join us in becoming a person who plants the seeds. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, and thank you for your input. Thank you, Jennifer Ramirez, for sharing about your book. And next week, we'll start a special feature on healthy minds and healthy bodies that we'll be preparing. Malvina Sullivan will be taking on that part of the show that we'll be talking about ways that we can manage our health so that we can learn better, all of us. Okay? This is Professor Applewhite asking that you continue to have a beautiful week. I wish you and the staff of White Apple Institute wishes you much love and peace. Thank you for being part of our show today. And now as we close, we listen to the music of Nazim Rashid. And as we close out this attitude, this, thank you so much for being part of the show.